chemical weapons.
No. Weapons.
Saddam Hussein dead.
Suspected terrorist.
You're listening to Cinema Recon.
Hello, and welcome to Cinema Recon for November 18th, 2012. I'm Paul.
I'm Jake.
And we have a great show for you. We saw Skyfall this weekend.
That's the song.
We'll be giving you our review on Skyfall, as well as lots of stuff to talk about this week in the movie news.
It's the movie news.
A few trailers came out. Twilight Saga has come to a close. So you're going to keep doing that the rest of the show?
Maybe.
So yeah, we got our cups of Joe. Cups of coffee. Do people call coffee Joe anymore?
I like to every now and then, but then I feel like people... that's kind of like not a term people use anymore. So it kind of throws people off. So then I gotta like usually repeat myself, and then it's just, I figure it's a waste of time, so I don't really say it anymore.
Every time you call it a cup of Joe's, I'm like, trips and falls.
Hey, go!
Don't do that.
Stop doing that.
Really throws me off.
Cup of Joe, huh? Coffee? Yes, I'd love some.
Big stuff going on.
You know what people
right
say
now
at work? They say caffeine.
Caffeine?
Have
some
me
caffeine?
Like, you know, like around like 2 or 3 or whatever, I when need, you get your little kind of afternoon coffee
need,
or whatever.
They say, I need caffeine.
People go, anybody want to go downstairs? We have a little, you know, lobby, little Starbucks
yeah
or whatever.
Yeah.
Anybody want to get caffeine?
No, Brenda, that's not going to catch on. Stop it.
Yeah, seriously.
We get Brenda. It. You've been saying it every day. Stupid Brenda.
Anybody want caffeine? No, I don't want caffeine. I want a cup of coffee.
I picture like a mound of like some sort of mineral.
It's just like lines of Coke, but yeah, instead of Coke, it's just ground coffee beans. And
like
they're
this?
Just like, everybody's going into the conference room and just like,
hey man, oh, look it up. Oh, now I can work.
Oh, I'm going to be so productive.
Anyway. So we have our caffeine in hand, and we'll be giving you...
Just told you I don't like that.
Quite.
Stop it, Brenda. You've been hanging around Brenda too much.
Brenda and I, we have something. And we're going to be giving you our review of Skyfall and talking about movie news, so stick with us and enjoy the show. So, Jake, how are things?
What's up, dog?
Yeah, dude. Came out to visit me this weekend.
Yeah, things are good. I either developing a severe case of arthritis or carpal tunnel syndrome from all the Call of Duty Black Ops 2 that we've been playing.
It's just your hand is in this, like, this trigger position at all times. Yeah, yeah, it came out
well,
last
I'm not
night
using a gun.
Well, you trigger position.
Just the shooting my television. Bam, bam.
Kablasto. Yeah, I'm going to need you to buy me a new TV, by
yeah
the way.
Yeah, so not only are Paul and I pretty big dorks on the movie front, we're also pretty big dorks on the video game front.
Proud of it. Well, I mean, this is kind of a big release.
This
you know
is the thing. If you're going to play video games, this is the one.
Yeah. So we,
and all you Call of Duty haters.
Haters going to hate.
Haters going to hate.
It's true. Yeah, man. The annual release of Call of Duty has become like a thing. I think I sent you a link that tons and tons of people called in sick, like Tuesday.
Like productivity is down.
I have friends that did the same.
So remember I told you, it was released last Tuesday, you know, at midnight. And I told you I was driving back from the gym, and remember I told you I saw like four people camped outside of the
chairs.
And chairs in the
outside the GameStop
in the San Ramon GameStop. And San Ramon's not that big of a town; it's probably like 60,000 or 70,000 people, I think. And there's like four people, but this was at like 8:30 or whatever. So I was like,
it releases at midnight.
Yeah, so I remember I was telling you I wanted to yell at them, like, losers, this is San Ramon. You don't have to camp outside for like 5 hours.
Should ask for their gamer tags.
I know.
I'm gonna kill you later. I'm gonna murder
you. That's right. I'm gonna find you all online on the online internet in this game, and I'm gonna kill you in person
now,
online.
Him. Yeah.
But then it's funny because I kind of like got handed my own hand. I don't know what I'm saying.
You got handed your own hand.
It was very odd, sir. Please stop touching my hand. No, because I went the next day to get my Call of Duty, and I was like, yeah, I saw like four guys camped out here yesterday at like 9 o'clock. I was like, kind of silly. How many people showed up? He's like, oh my god, it was packed. He's like, there was like a line out the out the door around the corner.
Oh, wow.
I was like, boy, do I feel like an idiot.
GameStop said it was their highest grossing day of all time. The GameStop alone moved one million units.
That's a lot of units.
That's a lot of units. Yeah, so it was extremely successful. It made something like $650 million.
That's a lot of millions of dollars.
Something like that. $650 million. For like the week or something. It's breaking all kinds of records. It does that. Every year it comes out, it breaks a new record.
So when's that going to stop,
When can it possibly stop?
I know, it's got to hit a plateau. I mean, they've got to have like, you know, diminishing returns.
Well, by the time the next one comes around, I think we'll have new consoles, new systems out. So it's like, people are just going to be excited for that, too. So, yeah, it's awesome. We've been having fun killing people. I love it. You can find – I'll give you my gamer tag.
Do it.
You can come find me and talk about Cinema Recon while I shoot you in the face.
Anyways, I love that one episode. Yeah. You're dead. Yeah. You're dead.
Yeah. The Paul Self. Find me on Xbox. That would be fun. Oh, man. We could talk about movies.
We can talk about movies and how much we play Call of Duty. Yeah, and if you have any interest in playing with somebody who's – slightly worse than Paul on Call of Duty. My gamer tag is the Jake 55. I get real creative with these names.
We're the thus.
We're the thus.
The thus. I like it.
But I do have a cool emblem. I made a radioactive symbol with a mustache, and it's hilarious.
It's pretty funny. Yeah.
So anyways, what have you been up to?
Good Call of Duty player does not an emblem make.
Exactly.
Not a whole lot, man. I'm glad you came out. It was fun. We've just been watching movies and playing games and
drinking the beers.
Drinking at the old watering hole. Yeah. And I've been busy. Christmas is right around the corner, trying to figure out gift ideas. That's always the hardest thing to do.
I'm going to try to do all mine on, So now Amazon for California, we have to pay the sales tax.
Yeah.
So
that's the worst.
It's still good because, you know, with the Amazon Prime, so you get the shipping and everything, but
sales tax.
California. Repeat what Paul says.
Yeah.
So I don't know. What do you get? I'm going to try and do a lot of it online, but I don't know, man.
A lot of it I'll do online. Black Monday. Is that what it's called?
Black
Cyber Monday.
Cyber Monday.
Black
Cyber
Friday.
Monday. Cyber Monday. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
We are robots.
The machines.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm going to buy stuff. The hardest part is just finding what my family likes.
Yeah, what the fuck do you get these people? I don't even know these people.
I keep asking them to tell me stuff. But, you know, but then at the same time, I don't want to buy someone something they asked for. So it's kind of a conundrum.
I know. Like, yeah. I'm kind of like to the age where I'm just like, I don't really give a crap anymore. I'm like, yeah. There's like, once you pass 15, the things you kind of want are like thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
And it's like, yeah. I want a brand new rifle. And it's like, okay, well, that's really expensive. It's like,
I want how about my apartment rent?
Yeah. I'd like to pay my salary for a year.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'm going to quit my job and you pay my salary.
Yeah. Why don't you pay for my cell phone bill? How about that?
Yeah. But I find like, it's almost like the older you get, like, The smaller things really are, better, right?
You gotta be clever.
Well, no, I mean, like the older you get, like sometimes the smaller stuff is like what you really wanted and needed, like, oh, a new coffee mug or socks.
Oven mitts like, for everyone.
It's just socks, but you know what? I actually really needed socks.
I'm gonna get you some deodorant.
And I really don't want to go sock shopping.
Well. I guess that's my worst problem in the world. I'm pretty lucky.
Yeah.
Can't figure out what to buy people.
I don't know if I'm going to go Amazon or not.
Yeah. Well, we'll see. So yeah, other than that, get ready for the holidays. Excited for the movies coming out.
Ho, 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 motherfucker.
Santa?
Hey,
you don't talk like the Santa at the mall.
You smell of whiskey a lot more.
Yeah.
Hey, I think it was pretty funny. We're just going to continue
to talk about
non-movie related things, but this is movie related because we were saying we went out, had a little night in the town last night.
Oh, we did.
So we left the one bar, went to another bar, and they happened to be playing a movie. And this was pretty late in the night. And Paul and I had a few rounds in us already.
It's like 1 in the morning.
And you know, we're obviously movie guys. So instead of like socializing at the bar, like talking amongst each other and like carrying on a nice conversation or arguing about politics or whatever drunk people do.
Sure.
We sat there and watched like literally half of the movie of Who Framed Roger Rabbit because it was playing on the TV. It was muted.
We watched Who Framed Roger Rabbit muted.
And the whole time, like, we would just like go over to one another and be like, oh wait, this part. Remember this part? This part right here, watch. This is where he has the ooze. Or the,
oh, this is the best.
What is it called? The
dip.
The dip. This is where he has the dip.
Yeah.
This is the part where Christopher Lloyd goes, just like this.
This is the part where Christopher Lloyd goes back in time.
Yeah. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah. It was fascinating. I can't believe how transfixed I was on Who Framed Roger Rabbit. I know, we were
both like drunk and staring.
In a busy-ass bar, too, in San Francisco. It was like people could, it was like shoulder-to-shoulder people, and we had like, luckily we got seats at the bar. People were trying to order over us, and we're just like, okay, here we go.
I'm like, quiet, I can't hear this part.
This is great. This is great. This is where there's a cartoon on a regular movie.
How did they do this?
I love that movie.
Nah, that's a good movie.
It's a good time.
It's a good movie.
Yeah, it is movie related. Very, very good.
Told you.
Well, aside from...
told you, haha.
We found some time to see a movie this week between going to bars and watching Who Framed Roger Rabbit and playing lots and lots of Call of Duty. This week we saw Skyfall.
Skyfall.
How's the rest of it go?
I don't know. Adele sings that.
Jake's kind of singing the Jake's humming the title sequence.
I'm actually just saying one word over and over.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm also trying to take my shoes off and get a little more comfortable.
I noticed that. I was like, "What are you doing over there?" He's like climbing out of his chair.
Boots—they're all strapped on.
And they're not made for walking.
Velcro is complicated.
There's like combination lock on the Velcro. This is the least convenient Velcro I've ever seen.
Yeah. To answer a riddle to get my shoes off.
I'm glad you're getting comfy.
Yeah. So I'm gonna dive into this bitch.
Yeah, it looks like you need some socks actually. Skyfall. I'll go through the rundown for you. Well, not just for you, but everyone else. Skyfall was released November 9th, 2012. Has a rating of PG-13 and a running time of 2 hours and 25 minutes.
Really?
2 hours, 25 minutes. 100 and something minutes.
Way to do the math, dude. 100 and something minutes.
190,000 minutes. 43 minutes. Do you want to guess the Rotten Tomato?
The Tomato Meter. I like this game. I like this little game we play.
It's fun. Yeah. They give them a number between 1 and 100.
This is tough because I was reading so much stuff. I was trying not to, you know, but couldn't avoid all the internet chatter about.
Well, that and you don't know how to read.
Best movie ever. I'm just staring at the pictures on my laptop. Very, you know, which begs the question why I bought a laptop to begin with. But, I'm going to say 91.
Ooh.
And that's, so I'm going to say 91, but okay. I want to make it known. That is my guess for the Tomometer,
okay.
Not my opinion.
Sure, I understand. 92.
I knew I should have went 92.
So close.
I knew you I should have went
92. You lose.
Well, you lose.
Get out.
Goodbye. I get to keep your laptop.
Yeah, I win your laptop. So, 92%, high, very high on the Tomometer. Let's see. I'll go right through the rest of the rundown here. It was directed by Sam Mendes, who you'll remember from such movies as American Beauty, Road to Perdition, and Jarhead.
I love Jarhead, dude. Yeah. That movie's fucking awesome.
I know you do.
Revolutionary Road. Oh, wait, no, I'm thinking it's
He did Revolutionary Road as well. He also did, I didn't put that on here, but he did Revolutionary Road, and he did Road to Perdition.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I was thinking of a different movie, not Revolutionary Road. Okay. I was thinking of The Road with,
The Road, yeah.
Is that Viggo Mortensen?
Yes, it is Viggo Mortensen. I love that movie.
I didn't care for it too much.
I liked it.
I was thinking of this one great movie. Oh, yeah, I don't like
Let's
it
Let's review
much.
The Road.
So The Road, starring Viggo Mortensen.
Sam Mendes is the director of Skyfall, of course. The movie was produced by MGM, and it stars Daniel Craig, Javier Bardem, Ralph Fiennes, Judi Dench, and Naomi Harris. And the synopsis, I pulled this as the official synopsis. This is not off of IMDb, so let's see if it makes sense.
This is the official from like the main site.
Big O.
So it's going to be filled with all these like nice what do they usually do? They usually like fill for all these like no. There's always
phrases.
Like all sorts of like marketing fluffery in there.
You'd think so, but this was actually really short, which is why
it
I used
says,
it.
It like, says
this movie sucks.
It says this is a James Bond movie.
Give us your money, and we kind of mailed it in. No, the synopsis is Bond's loyalty to M is tested as her past comes back to haunt her. As MI6 comes under attack, 007 must track down and destroy the threat, no matter how personal the cost.
What do you say about a man like that? 3 months ago, you lost the drive containing the identity of every agent embedded in terrorist organizations across the globe.
007 reporting for duty.
Where the hell have you been?
Enjoying death.
Skyfall. Wom, wom.
Can't get that song out of your head, huh?
No, it's very fucking catchy, actually.
Yeah, it is.
Okay. Very catchy.
Well, now that we've read through the rundown and seen the trailer or heard the trailer, and how do you want to start this off? James Bond, are you a big James Bond fan? Would you call yourself like a James Bond
fan?
I was gonna say aficionado.
Definitely not an aficionado. Definitely not any sort of expert or you know, really followed the Bond series or anything. I've probably seen, in all honesty, I've probably seen like six Bond movies, maybe. You know, I mean,
which sounds like a lot, but there's like 20 plus movies.
There's like 25 movies or something. Actually, there's, I think this was the 23rd.
Is this the 23rd?
But yeah, I saw the couple pieces of shit with Pierce Brosnan.
You didn't like Goldeneye?
Nah. Wait, what's the one where they're like driving around in the snow? That's the next one, I think.
It's probably the next one. I didn't really watch the next ones, like Tomorrow Never Dies.
I think that was it.
Yeah. I liked Goldeneye.
I'd have to go back and watch them, but I remember one of them was just, like, the one with Halle Berry. Wasn't she in one of them?
Yeah, no, I didn't watch that one. I skipped that one.
Stupid Halle Berry.
Yeah, I don't like Halle Berry.
Good friend of the show.
Get out of here, Halle Berry.
She's sitting right here. And now for our guest, Halle Berry.
Stands up. Well, I never.
Well, I never. This is ridiculous.
It was hard for me to find this place, and now you guys are making fun of me. Sorry, Halle Berry. I like how we don't even try to do a Halle Berry impression. This is what she sounds like.
We just do a dude voice.
You guys suck.
Well, I never.
Me and my girl body and voice are leaving. Yeah. See ya, Halle. Yeah, so it's funny, though, that you have a franchise this big, you know, and us being big movie nerds really haven't really seen very many of them, you know?
Well, I mean, I think this is kind of like the, I don't know, like... I feel like it's like a classic movie nerd type thing. Like this, you know, this series has been going on for so long. Like
50 years. I mean, this is the 50th year, right?
It'd be very difficult to watch all these fucking movies. Like,
it would.
Maybe we should try to do like a James Bond quest and like watch them all like one a month or something. You know what I mean?
An hour.
And it would take us 2 years. Oh my God. I just did that math.
Wow. That's good math. Yeah. Two years to watch him.
12 plus. Well, there's 12. So.
So stay tuned for our James Bond review marathon in 2 years.
We'll be back later.
We'll wait. You can too.
But yeah, I think I saw the couple with Pierce Brosnan and you know the last one, the last two with Daniel Craig, right? Didn't we see the last one together?
This is the third outing for Daniel Craig.
Casino Royale, I thought was crap.
You didn't like Casino Royale? No. I was lukewarm. I thought it was meh.
My review of Casino Royale is they were about 5 years behind the trend on No Limit Texas Hold'em.
You didn't like it that they played poker in the movie. I really don't care. I like poker in movies.
I didn't mind that they played poker. That's almost kind of a central thing to any James Bond movie, I feel like, right? Is like some sort of high-stakes gambling scene. But I didn't like how they tried to like jump on the hype of Texas Hold'em, and they were like explaining the rules.
Really?
And there was like... You know, there's like somebody watching Bond and he'd like lean over to, you know, whoever he was standing next to, his whatever, accomplice or whatever, and be like, ooh, this card's called the river. This is when they bet. I'm like, dude, come on.
They had the graphic in the corner of like what James Bond has.
Bond is holding an ace-7.
Looks like he's all in. Yeah.
I couldn't think of any of the poker
guys'
names. Etc.
Yeah, I can't think of any of their names either, right?
That's what I'm talking. Phil Hellmuth, wasn't he one of the guys?
Yeah, that's one. Okay, we'll go with him.
Hellmuth has... pair of kings.
It's like James Bond goes all in with deuce seven.
With ought seven. James Bond goes in with 1-7. He says he does not need his other card.
James Bond doesn't need another card.
But yeah, I feel like they kind of tried to ride that hype, and it was just kind of weak, I think.
I must not remember it as well as I thought, because I didn't really have a problem with the poker scene. But we both agree that the second Daniel Craig Bond, what was it,
Quantum of Solace.
Was crap.
And apparently had Sean Connery in it, according to your voice.
Quantum of Solace. Quantum of crap.
Oh, Halle Berry?
Hey, that's my Halle Berry impression.
Yeah, we thought that one was, it was very interesting why a guy, whose main weapon was just gonna be buying water.
Yeah. That was the synopsis.
And then at the end, he just beat the shit out of 007. You remember that? Dude, like all of a sudden, he was like a.
Why is this happening?
Like all of a sudden, this dude was like a karate black belt and was just like whooping the shit out of James Bond.
He was the nerdiest looking dude. He looked like a day trader. Like he had his little like glasses and
his
thin little tie. And then at the very end of the movie, of course, why is it that the villain suddenly has to be able to hang and be able to go toe to toe with James Bond? You know, they were like doing all kinds of taekwondo and shit.
It was nuts, dude. Like, I remember it because they weren't just fighting. Like, yeah, he's like Bond was getting kicking. His ass whooped. Yeah. Like, big time.
Yeah.
That's one of the main reasons I actually really liked Mission Impossible 3 with Philip Seymour Hoffman because he was like the nerd type villain, but he didn't all of a sudden know how to fight at the end.
Yeah.
Like, he kind of used his little gadgets maybe to, like, whatever, mess with Tom Cruise so he could beat him up like that. But
yeah.
He wasn't all of a sudden, like, some professional boxer.
No.
Like, I happen to be a villain, and I was a Golden Gloves champ, by the way, so I'm going to beat you up now.
P.S. Yeah, it doesn't make any sense.
P.S. I'm Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Well, I like we didn't like that movie. And now here we have the third Bond.
And you can see
from the thermometer that it's getting really good reviews. So
it is getting good reviews. And that's what I was saying earlier. All the internet chatter was, like, best Bond movie ever, yeah. Or best, you know,
best Bond
new
ever.
New Bond, yeah. or whatever they're saying.
And I was excited to see it actually, because you know, I haven't been too into the Bond films, but it's I'm always up for a good action flick. So, and it's got some good people in it too. I love Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah,
Judy Dench is always good, and I like Daniel Craig, even though you know I didn't like the past two Bonds or Cowboys and Aliens, so that was crap. So really, what has Daniel Craig done to merit my praise?
I feel like
I just like him.
I feel like I feel like you just like him, yeah. And you're just waiting, like you're giving him all these opportunities. Like, come on, Daniel Craig, do me something good, man. I'm looking at Daniel Craig's kind of filmography
Let's see. Big Mama's House 2.
He's got Casino Royale, Quantum of Solace, blah 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 blah, Defiance, Cowboys and Aliens, which was just like the biggest letdown.
Womp
womp womp letdown.
Womp, womp.
That movie Dream House. Did you ever see that?
I want to say no.
Yeah, I saw it on HBO the other day, and it turns out it was kind of cool until you kind of figured out what was going on. It was one of those like psychological kind of thriller movies.
Yeah.
And then it was like, you kind of figure out what's going on too early, and the rest of the movie you're like, but I know what's going on.
I did see it. Yeah, it's like a horror type film, right? Ghosts.
Yeah, turns out it's him. He's himself. And
turns out there are no ghosts.
And pretty much, yeah, okay. So it was pretty boring.
We'll avoid that one. Yeah. That was funny. He was in the Tomb Raider movie.
He was in Munich.
I didn't realize that. Yeah, I saw Munich.
Forgot about that. That movie's fucking awesome.
Okay.
All right. So, anyways, yeah. I mean, it kind of goes back to what you're saying. You know, it's like why are we giving all Daniel Craig this credit? Is it really due? But I like him. He's a cool actor. He's a cool guy. He seems
dreamy. His blue eyes.
He's dreamy. He's got a body chiseled like a Greek god.
Well, let's not go that far. Okay, we'll stop at the eyes. You're making me uncomfortable.
But yeah, I mean, so what do you think?
I'll
ask you first.
I'll jump right in. I enjoyed the movie. I'll say that right off the bat. I thought it was a good time. Best Bond ever? I'm the wrong person to ask that kind of question. You know,
right.
I don't know if it's the best Bond ever. I don't know if he's even the best James Bond, let alone if this is the best Bond movie. But, I thought that it corrected the problems from the last two outings. I thought this movie was very well paced, and especially I thought the action scenes were done really, really well. I thought there was a lot of cool like variations to them. No, you're not a big fan?
No, I'm just fucking with you.
Yeah, I thought it was a lot of good variations in the action scenes, which is what you want when you get down to it in the nitty gritty. You know, you want to go see a Bond movie because you want to see a couple things you want out of your Bond movie. You want to see him, you know,
yeah, but then he got to get
bed some women. He's got to do that.
Yep.
He's got to use some kind of cool device.
Yep.
And then he's got to be in some sort of elaborate chase scene.
Right.
And I thought that most, for the most part, this covered all its bases.
See, I feel like it didn't. I think that's my.
Okay.
Well, where's my phone? Because I took a bunch of notes.
You took a bunch of pictures. Where's my phone?
I was the guy holding my phone up and filming the whole movie.
Now we should say, and I think I know what you're gonna say.
I tell you, a guy did that when I was in that movie Battleship.
No, that's bullshit.
He was like filming the ending. Like scene with his phone, and
don't
I was like,
that. "That's piracy."
Like, have you ever heard of the fucking internet, dude? Like, you can just go find this. Like,
is he a pirate?
Tomorrow, he's got a pirate.
He's got a pirate hat.
He's like,
he's got an eye patch.
He's got a fucking wooden.
Yar.
He's got a wooden leg.
I'm going to upload this to YouTube.
Sitting in these seats makes me leg hurt. Anyways.
Okay, so I think I know what you're going to say. I think a theme of this film was that, like, kind of old, the old way versus the new way, you know? Because, like, an ongoing theme throughout the film is that they're shutting, they want to shut down MI6, that Judy Dench is past her prime, that having these secret agents is a thing of the past, and it's not necessary anymore in fighting worldwide crime, and especially for the British Secret Service. It's just obsolete is kind of the phrase. And Bond himself is kind of tested. He's getting older. He's injured throughout half the movie. And so it's kind of like we see him kind of falter a little bit for the first time in a Bond movie. Not everything comes natural. He misses his target sometimes. And he's injured half the movie. So it's kind of like the old way versus the new way. And I think that throughout that, they kind of rely just on Bond himself. And there's not a lot of gadgets.
So there are no gadgets.
There are no gadgets in this movie.
Right.
And they kind of make even a joke about that. The new Q says, right, like, what were you expecting? You know, an exploding pen?
Right.
He basically hands him a gun, and which was kind of cool. The gun was synced to his palm, so it only fire for him. And then he had a radio. That was it.
You know what's funny is – let me go back to your previous point, because you were saying, like, you know, Bond movies got to have gadgets, got to have women, and, like, an elaborate chase scene, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I really feel like it only did one of those. The one thing it did was some pretty cool chase scenes.
Okay. Women. You didn't bet any women?
Women, there was that one broad, and then, so this is one of the notes I have, so just starting to get into kind of some of the aspects of the movie. Mm-hmm. This is the only film where there was not a Bond girl.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, again, I can't say only film because I haven't seen all fucking 20 movies, right? But
usually the Bond girl isn't like his sidekick throughout the movie. Like, that's not something that's normally in Bond.
No, not a sidekick, but normally there's like a woman, right? And there really wasn't. Well, I wonder if that's they had to make room for. I don't want to give away. There's kind of a little twist at the end. You find out one of the the female actress lead. But I wonder if they like didn't have enough room to have another female in there.
I think Naomi Harris was your Bond girl,
right? But she really wasn't in the movie that much.
Not really. But I'm saying like not a lot of Bond girls are in the movie for a long.
But they're in the movie more than that though.
Unless you're Halle Berry and you demand you have a bigger role in all your films.
Yeah, Halle.
Shut up, Halle.
Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Don't even change your voice. You're changing your voice for us.
So I feel like, I was expecting more of a, you know, Bond to be wooing the said Bond girl or women and like he does, but.
He slept with that girl in the beginning. He was sleeping with that girl after he was presumed dead.
Good for him.
You know, good for him. And then he immediately bedded that girl in the middle of the movie.
Good for him.
And it looked like he was probably going to boink Naomi Harris as well.
People still say boink. That's still a word?
I just thought, you know, I was drinking my Joe. I thought I'd throw in some boink.
Oh, let's go get caffeine.
Yeah.
Okay, so I give that one a pass, but then like
no
I said,
gadgets.
Number two, no gadgets
until the end that we see the old the old way versus the new way. Until we see the old fashioned spy car,
right?
And he's got the machine gun.
Still doesn't really count. I don't know. I don't really count that.
No, but it's at least it's a gadget, of some sort.
When Q gives him, first of all, why was Peter Parker playing Q? That's what I want to know. Why did he have coif hair?
He says, I was looking at you as soon as he came on screen. I was like, hey.
Why does he have giant coif hair?
He did. I was like, Jesus. Do people really go outside in public like that?
Well, no. He was at work.
Yeah. People really go to work like that? I'm going to grow some coif hair.
First of all, so Spider-Man was playing Q.
Yeah, pretty much.
And then second of all, this is like high tech stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And then Q gives him a gun, which is palm printed. To his hand, and then he gives him a radio transmitter.
A little radio transmitter.
Which is like this big.
When it's that big,
why is it so big?
Why do you still have the need for a tiny antenna to pop up?
It's like a little antenna. Pink.
It pops up. It's like an inch high.
Hold on. I don't have any signal.
Pink.
Oh, that's much better. There we go.
Clears a bell.
I didn't understand why the little radio transmitter was so big.
The movie, I think, was making a point that it was trying to make a joke that, like, oh, you know, those silly gadgets. You know, we're going to be straightforward this time out. And I was a little disappointed too. I like seeing gadgets.
I think it's just, I mean,
I want to see a shoe that has a phone, poison dart.
A phone in it.
Phone
get
shoe.
Smart shoe.
Yeah, that'd be great too. The cone of silence.
So, So I think I get it, right? With what they were doing with the movie, you know, kind of the old versus new type thing, and you know, the advancements in technology with even Javier Bardem is a villain and Q saying they can do so much with a click of a button that agents aren't really needed, blah blah blah, right?
Yeah, but, that's kind of the overarching plot is like you know, the world is so too fast paced for the old MI6.
Right. And although I wanted to see all the gadgets and stuff, I'm not holding it against the movie, but I was kind of expecting it and wanted to see that. But I was really expecting for Q, because Q hands him the gun and the radio.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, what were you expecting? An exploding pen?
Yeah.
Right? And then he started walking away. And I was really hoping he was going to turn around and be like, but just in case, here's an exploding pen. Wanted him to do that. I was like, that would have been awesome.
That would have been awesome. Here's a bomb that also writes letters. It's like the shape of one of those bowling balls. The wick at the top. Yeah. Yeah.
That didn't happen though.
No. So in that sense, yes, I was a little disappointed, because I like fancy gadgets in my Bond movies that I've seen. But, I thought the action scenes were great. I thought they were, well choreographed. You know, it's funny though, in the very beginning of the movie, I could not help but think back to that Family Guy episode when he fights the chicken.
Yeah.
And, like, cause they end up like all of a sudden on a train and they're on a plane and they're on a Ferris wheel. And like in this movie, the same thing. I mean, they're running on foot, then they're on motorbikes, then they're off on a bridge, then they're on a train. And then he's driving a tractor somehow.
Somebody's driving a tractor on a train inside a motorcycle.
It sounds silly when you say it out loud, but it was really cool. What do you think of that Bond film? It was awesome. I like the part where he drives a tractor on a train.
Yeah, it was, the chase scenes were good. One thing I think I really did enjoy was, I think it was filmed really well. I think the directing was really great. And again, we're no technical movie buffs, but I think I want to say like cinematography or like the director of photography, like a lot of the shots were really cool. They were really like visual, right? It was really, really like
Sam Mendes is a well accomplished director and he did American Beauty.
Right. And, so, and I think
which
that
is a beautifully shot film.
I think, in particular that, style of filming really came through in the scene where he killed the assassin sniper guy.
Yeah.
In that glass tower with all the different lights in the background. That was fucking awesome.
It was really cool.
That was badass. And a lot of the scenes at the end of the movie as well, when we get to the house, just the way it's filmed and just like, you know, just a house in the middle of nowhere and the way it was lit, especially towards the end when the house was on fire and stuff, like it was like visually, it was a very, very like impressive movie, like the way it looked. So I thought that was great.
Yeah, I did too. I liked the way he handled this film. And you know what else I liked? No shaky cam for the most part.
Yeah.
That was
why
nice.
Why were you expecting
quick
that?
Quick cuts and stuff. Well, you know, in a lot of action films, they kind of hide.
The camera's just fucking shaking uncontrollably.
It's just vibrating constantly.
He just throws the camera down a flight of stairs.
Yeah, well, it was very straightforward. I could tell what was going on, even in, you know, in dark scenes.
Right.
And it set it up very nicely. For me, the viewer, to just enjoy the action scenes. You know, like, all too often, like, especially the Bourne movies are notorious for this. And the action scenes are really
good. Not really
good.
The first one, though. The first one actually had, if we're talking about Bourne.
It got shakier and shakier.
No, the first one had pretty awesome fight scenes.
Yeah,
I think it was the first one. The second one.
No, they all.
But then they really started to get quick cutting, and it was like.
Okay.
Are you saying Bourne was doing a lot of quick cuts?
Bourne is notorious for shaky cam.
Oh, shaky cam. Well, are you talking shaky cam or like quick cut action?
Both. I was saying that this movie didn't have a lot of that. It was easy to see each action scene.
And I think that plays through, especially in the scene in particular I'm talking about, where they're in this glass tower. It's at nighttime and it's being backlit by all these, I don't know what it was, all these giant glowing advertisements on adjacent buildings. Yeah.
Yeah, on the side of the buildings.
And that in particular, for the majority of the fight scene, was just a stationary shot on them fighting, and they were backlit by all these advertisements. So all you see is the black silhouettes of the two characters fighting.
Mm-hmm.
And if he would have tried to do, if they would have been like cutting that fight scene a lot in different angles, you would have totally lost your point of reference, and it would have been a fucking mess.
Yeah,
because it was dark and all the lights were changing everywhere.
Mm-hmm.
If they would have like done multiple angles and stuff, I would have been very upset actually, because I would have been like, I can't fucking see what is going on.
You had your angry face on.
I had my
fold your arms, frumpy face.
I wore my Hulk mask the whole movie. I can't see the movie.
So I mean, those are the things that I liked. You know what else I liked about this movie, and that other Bond films, especially with Daniel Craig, I felt have lacked. We hinted at this earlier. It was a decent Bond villain. I thought Javier Bardem did an excellent job at being memorable and still being like a scary guy. Like, he's kind of a loose cannon type of villain.
He went rogue.
He did go rogue.
We know how you feel about that.
Yeah, which is nice because I feel like these newer Bond films, they've all been kind of focused on like, they're always like, well, the last one was like an economic crisis, right. You know, and or the villain himself is just a suit. You know, he's not very memorable. There's nothing. What happened to like the old Bond villains, like the Lockjaw memorable Bond villains? Or we want over the top, kind of larger than life villains. And I thought Javier Bardem did an excellent job. It's not being like too over the top, but and still being believable, but still being fucking crazy.
He was crazy. He was very menacing.
Yeah,
like,
menacing. That's a good word.
He was very believable.
Yeah.
And he was very just like prominent, right? Yeah. He had a big like presence. Like it wasn't, like you said, it wasn't just some face or some suit. It was like, he's the fucking guy. And you really felt like, oh shit, like this is a big villain for Bond. Like
they did a good job building him up, not showing him too soon. And then his entrance, you recall, you know, when he walks in from down far in like a long hallway.
Oh, fucking perfect.
And he tells a story as he gets it's one shot of him walking towards Bond. And that was really a relief to have that in a Bond movie.
Didn't he fucking look creepy too?
Yeah.
He even looked fucking weird.
He looked, I don't know how to put it, like some sort of escaped mental patient.
He just looked
with his bleached blonde hair.
Yeah, it looked odd, man.
Really
like
strange.
And it just gave him that much more like believability, you know, because like he just like this, you know, I don't know if is it a spoiler if we say what he is or was?
No, he was. Yeah. Well, you can say that. He was. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, he was. So he was an ex 00 agent.
Yeah.
So he used to work for MI6.
Yeah, that's the plot of the entire movie. Is he's targeting MI6 and he's ultimately targeting M.
M because she gave him up.
Which I thought was interesting. You know, they condensed this film and the plot of it really isn't about like world domination and you know changing the economic tides. It's really about revenge. About the villains going after M. It has nothing really to do with Bond. He's in the middle of it.
Yeah. So usually, you know, the typical. You know, James Bond type scenarios or Mission Impossible scenarios that have been, you know, stereotyped into, you know, any villain you see in a cartoon where it's just some crazed billionaire who wants to take over the world or, you know, crush a nation or some like global fucking madman scheme.
Fix
right?
the Super Bowl.
Fix the Super Bowl. Get a cup of Joe. But this one is the exact opposite. And it kind of fit really well with the whole story of, you know, the old ways versus the new ways and just kind of making it a local and a personal story.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. At the same time, I almost feel like it was just odd to me. Like it was, certain aspects were.
It was odd. The movie was odd. The plot.
Well,
what was it?
Like, I feel like the movie was almost very, like, I almost feel like because of these elements, like I'm mentioning, like the gadgets and the Bond woman and everything else, like, and not saying like you have to have these requirements to be a James Bond movie, but I feel like it was almost like not really a James Bond movie and just kind of like an action movie, right?
It was.
This could have been anything. Like, this could have been Liam Neeson in this role, right? It's like,
But you have more weight behind it when you know it's James Bond.
Right. But
any of these films can be adapted into like a solo action movie.
Solo action movie starring Liam Neeson.
Solo action movie.
Yeah, but I feel like it was almost like a take on like the new like Mission Impossible almost, where it's like we don't have the support of MI6 and we just have all these and it's just us now.
That's kind of cliche.
Personal
a lot of
thing.
Action films.
I know, but it's like it just didn't do it for me. It was just like
it almost felt like a reboot in some ways. You know what I'm saying?
No.
No, you don't think so?
No. How? In which ways?
Well, I don't want to get into spoiling and chain of command and who's been replaced and who's not replaced. And
oh, well, yeah, in that sense, I kind of thought like, okay, I don't think a reboot. I kind of just think like there's a little move towards the end. Is that what you're talking about at the end?
Yeah.
With the reveal of the lady. Yeah. I thought that was just kind of like a way to kind of like inject a little bit of life into the franchise and kind of keep it going and have something, you know,
something
to look forward
new.
To.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm just kind of like looking at some of my notes real quick because I took a fucking shit.
All right, everyone, just wait while he reads.
I'm scrolling through my phone.
Yeah. I'll also say that I really liked the ending. I thought that not the ending. I guess I'm saying the final stand at the what Skyfall is the title of the film is where Bond grew up at his home. So I like the standoff.
It's a big ranch, like a big piece of property.
It's just a house in the middle of nowhere. Like there's nothing around it in Scotland, and it's kind of where Bond has his final stand against the villain and his henchmen. And I thought that was cool. We should also say this movie contained the single largest explosion we've ever seen in a film before. So that was pretty cool.
So there's a scene where like they're at the house, the James Bond's childhood house, Skyfall Ranch or whatever it is, and helicopter crashes into the house and like and it's a large house. So like the helicopter doesn't just like, you know, completely engulf the whole house.
No, it's just not like one wing of the house.
Right, it's a giant house. Yeah. It's like a ranch house or castle actually.
It's a castle.
And like a helicopter crashes into like one side of like the house and the whole fucking house just kablast.
We were like, "Oh my god."
Like it was so over the top that we both kind of just looked at each other during the movie and was like, why is this happening? Why did this whole house go up in smoke or up in flames right now?
What'd you say? It was like, good thing the entire house was made out of balsa wood.
I said, apparently James Bond's childhood home was made entirely out of C4 and balsa wood.
It just went up. The entire thing. It was cool looking. But it had no business blowing up that big.
So this kind of leads to one of the things that I took a note on is that, the title of the movie Skyfall was really kind of sending the internet a buzz when it came out that this is the name of the new James Bond movie, right?
Oh, okay.
And everybody was like, what does this mean, obviously like, is it a code name for the mission, you know?
Reveal it in the trailers either.
No, they were keeping it pretty low key. And, you know, so I think a lot of people were like myself, like, oh, Skyfall is going to be the name of, you know, some super secret mission or super secret weapon or super secret whatever.
Super secret secret.
Super secret childhood home, which isn't really a secret. So it turns out to be his parents' property where he was born or raised or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Which I thought was very misleading. And again, I don't know if it's because, you know, we have our ear to the internet a little bit more than the regular person. So the kind of chatter about what does Skyfall mean? What is in the, you know, what is the title mean?
Does it really matter though? I thought it was interesting.
I thought it was interesting, but still, as a title of the movie, it's very insignificant. Like
it's again going with the theme of the film and bringing up the old way and the past and
I don't see that though. How is that?
Well, it ties a lot into it. I mean, they had the conversation. M and Bond talked about how, you know, he was recruited and how he was, you know, orphans are the best recruits.
Right.
And it really is focusing on the core of the Bond character, which is, you know, in this house incarnate basically is like this.
But
all by itself in the middle of nowhere, old, dilapidated,
But it didn't. To me, it was a very. I think it was a very.
I just don't think it's. I don't think it's a big of a deal that you're making. Like, I don't think it's a very.
Well, I don't. I'm not necessarily. I guess I'm thinking if for naming the movie after this.
What else would you call it?
James Bond movie. I don't know. Whatever, dude. Call it Halle Berry Bond movie.
Cyanide Pills, the movie.
For naming the movie after it, I thought I was expecting a little bit more of a significant and a weighty tie-in to the movie, but it was just like,
I thought that was
the
big
name of his house.
That was a big tie-in. It was like, it was the final standoff. It was, and it also so happens to be his childhood home.
Right, which he says he didn't really care about the place anyways.
And he's like, I always hated this place.
Exploded it.
I always hated this place. I'm going to explode you.
I'm going to make a helicopter crash into you now.
I thought it was good.
I guess I was just expecting a little bit more, like something heavier.
Okay. Maybe a part of it is the, you know, him burying the past as well, him putting it aside and finally
moving on, I guess. Because when he's being not interrogated, when he's
obviously,
right, when he's having to go through his
psychological
evaluations, they're doing word association, and, you know, James Bond is giving witty, smart-ass answers, and then the guy says, Skyfall, and he gets all pissed off.
Mm-hmm.
And then he says, done.
Yeah.
Like, does that mean I'm done with this interview?
Yeah, done.
Is that what it means? That was
we're
you saying?
We're done here. Yeah.
So
I thought it was fine. I don't think it's a big enough point to weigh down on the enjoyment of the movie.
Enjoyability
of this movie, like, going thing.
Yeah, so... Well, okay. I got to go back to one other thing.
Mm.
The previous movie we just talked about, Quantum of Solace, the guy was a nerd.
He was.
Or a businessman, whatever.
Business
and then he
nerd.
Kicked the fucking living shit out of James Bond at the end.
He did.
And this movie, we have a guy who's an ex-MI6 agent.
Yeah.
Who M says was like the best.
He was pretty good.
Best ever.
Yeah.
And then there's no fight scenes.
No fight scenes.
I was so pissed.
Bond. Yeah.
I was like, really thought that was.
I want to see like a showdown.
Yeah, I thought that was a bad move. Like, especially because the whole movie, right, we're talking is very personal, right? The whole movie is kind of like, let's eliminate the gadgets and everything. It's a personal story, revenge at James Bond childhood home, two MI6 agents, the best that there is. I thought you really had an awesome opportunity to really see some shit go down.
Mm-hmm.
But there literally is no fight.
That was unfortunate. I would like to have seen like just wreck shop in that church.
Yeah, I say that.
Yeah.
yeah, but I was really looking forward to something, and then it just stops, and I was like, what? That's it?
Yeah. That's it.
Kind of pissed me off.
I'm sorry, dude.
And I kind of really didn't like the, you said, the Home Alone moment.
Dude, they had such a Home Alone moment when they're getting ready for the bad guys to come to the house. They're like, all right, let's get ready. And it could have been playing Carol of the Bells, and it would have looked just like Home Alone, where he's setting up all the traps.
I wanted to see M put a Michael Jordan cutout on a train and have it moving back and forth.
Jingle bells, jingle bells.
And all the bad guys, like, keep shooting at it. what is it?
Keep the change, you filthy animal.
That the one part I didn't understand.
Okay. Was the part where he beds that lady?
Yes.
Let me explain.
How does that work, Dad? Okay. Javier Bardem, what is his name? Silver, something like that.
Silver, I guess, was his code name.
He gets I think it was Silva. Anyways, whatever. He gets captured.
He does.
On purpose.
He does.
Why?
He wanted to get close to Judi Dench, apparently, and hack into their system.
I mean, obviously, that was a little unbelievable to me. That was kind
of
like...
It was another one of those things where it's like, we have to believe that a number of series of events were to take place perfectly for this to work. Yes.
Well, I just don't understand. He was like, again, top-notch villain, and he was like a computer hacker, right? Mm-hmm. I think we failed to mention. Mm-hmm. He was like totally could hack into anything, blah, blah, blah. So... I don't know if you caught it, but when they opened up his laptop and started accessing it, right, it like hacked into the systems for him.
Yeah.
To do what?
He wanted to get the laptop in there, I guess.
To do what, though? It didn't do anything. Like, I thought about it afterwards. I'm like, but wait a minute. He just got caught on purpose. Mm-hmm. They opened up his laptop and it started hacking it for him.
I don't know.
And then he escaped. So he just got caught.
Yeah.
Just to escape?
I guess he needed to get in there somehow, and because he had other elaborate plans he wanted to do. I mean, he wasn't just going to stop with killing, you know, M. He wanted to go off and, like, you know, mess with world economies and things like that, too. So maybe it was just another step in his plan, and it didn't come to fruition. Yeah,
it kind of was a hole in the plot.
What I thought was really funny, too, is, like, well, another thing, too, is he wanted to make MI6 look bad, too, and he wanted... Maybe he was looking forward to eventually getting Judi Dench to have to go to that hearing where he knew she would be out in the open and he could, you know, I guess kill her there himself. But what I thought was interesting.
But that was after the fact. That was like totally later though.
It was.
That was after he already got caught on purpose and then escaped on purpose and then he came back.
It was totally later. What I thought was really funny was if this was all part of this, he had this long elaborate plan they said was like years in the making, and he had this island that he had taken over and, you know, he purposely blew his cover so that that was very loud. He purposely blew his cover so MI6 would take him in and he'd get captured only to have them have his laptop hack the system and then he could escape and open all the doors in the place. And he had this all planned, but then, the way he decided his plan was to kill Judi Dench was he's going to burst into a courtroom,
and shoot
guns blazing, and just shoot her and get in a shootout with loaded with policemen. Like, I was like
that's what I'm talking about, right?
Get a little antsy there, huh? You know, you're patient this long.
I think they could have done a little bit better job.
See
how
loud I can be. No.
That part. That was a good snap on those cans.
Crackly.
I think they could have done a little bit better of a job, like tying that together and making it more, not necessarily elaborate, but just tighter.
Agreed.
Right? Like exactly like you said, like he just comes in and he's just going to shoot her after all this elaborate shit. He's just going to shoot her.
This is my plan.
In the courthouse.
Here's what we're going to do.
Which is surrounded by armed guards. Yeah. Like,
this is like parliament they're in or whatever.
And then I thought it was especially stupid when he's escaping from that and James Bond starts chasing him through the subways.
Yeah.
And then he's climbing up a ladder and James Bond shoots at him, so the guy stops, right?
That was when he escaped. That was when he escaped the
That was before or after that. Whatever, it doesn't matter, right?
Yeah.
So then he makes an explosion in the wall, right?
Mm-hmm.
And James Bond like, oh no, is that for me? And he's like, no, but this is. And then the explosion was right in the tunnel for the train. Yeah. And then the train comes through the hole that he made and whatever. I was like,
how do you
How could he have timed this?
Perfectly. Like, another thing.
He knew that James Bond was going to chase him up this hallway and that he was going to stop right on the ladder and that the train was on time.
Oh, yeah.
And that James Bond would be standing right there.
Again.
Good thing it wasn't in the BART station, dude. He'd be waiting for like 15 minutes. Hold on. The next train's coming. Hold on.
This one's delayed. Yeah. And there's no one on that train, you notice, too.
No, I didn't.
Not a single person on the train. Yeah. It was an empty train. There's a lot of those little things, but for me, it wasn't enough. There's some movies where it stops to a screeching halt when you notice these things. And for me, yes, I noticed them, but it didn't, change my opinion of the movie for what it was.
Right. Yeah, I agree. These are kind of just some of the
little nitpicking on our part, but.
Yeah, I agree.
They're funny and worth bringing up.
Well, yeah, obviously, it's just a discussion point. But there's some things that, you know, you get to a threshold where it's like, okay, all these things add up, and now it's just like, come on, the movie was stupid because of these. So I don't necessarily think the movie was stupid because of them. I just think, you know, they're a little funny, and for how smart the movie was trying to be, it could have been put together a little bit better.
Okay.
But what about James Bond's drinking game? I think we should start that drinking game.
Oh, the scorpion?
Yeah,
we should do that.
Let's put scorpions on our faces.
Yeah, you have to take a shot with a scorpion on your hand without the scorpion stinging you. That sounds awesome. I want to know who came up with that. Yeah, when he's like in – where was he when he was on the
line? Some like undisclosed.
Yeah. Anyway, yeah, that looks awesome. That's about all I had to add. Do you want to do your review? Or your recommendation?
Yeah. So, this is tough because if you listen to the show, you know I'm a judge of character for movies. So, shit.
Well, let's spit it out.
You go first.
you go right ahead.
I'm gonna fuck. I'm gonna say Rent It, maybe.
Really? No, not seeing it in theaters?
I mean, I think it's a good movie, but I don't think necessarily seeing it in theaters lends itself, because the movie, again, isn't this global, like, huge, grand action sequences and stuff. There's some cool shit in the beginning, the chase scenes and stuff. So I don't think necessarily you have to see this movie on the big screen to get the, you know, benefit of the everything going on. So, I mean, it's a good movie, though. So I'm gonna say either Rent It. I'm sorry. Either see it in the theaters or rent it. I wouldn't rush out to go see it in theaters, but it's a good movie.
Okay. I would say see it in theaters because it's finally a good Bond movie. If you like James Bond, you're pretty much guaranteed to enjoy this. I didn't love it.
Heard it here first. Paul guarantees you'll like this, or he will pay you money.
I don't remember saying that part, but you can try and get whatever money you can out of me. I'll say go see it in theaters because it's fun. And it wasn't the best movie in the world. I don't know exactly if it deserves 92%, but it was great. I had a fun time.
What would you rate it if you had to? And not again, not just like a 1 out of 100 rating.
I'd give it like a 75 to 80. Like, it was a good action movie.
Yeah, I'd say maybe like an 85.
Yeah,
somewhere around there.
It was good.
It was good. Could have been a little bit better.
I'm not gonna think about it much after. But
exactly.
But you know what? I didn't walk out of there. Again, I didn't walk out of there thinking like, oh my god, that one part was so stupid.
Yeah.
And I liked everyone involved, everyone did a good job, and I thought it was a good action film and finally a good Bond movie.
Judi Dench was great in it.
Judi Dench is always great. She's the best.
Yeah.
So there you have it. Cinema Recon gives some Cinema Recon thumbs ups.
Thumbs ups.
If we did it by thumbs up, I don't know why I even said that.
We
like it.
We give it 5 thumbs up.
Cinema Recon gives it 47 AK-47s. I don't know where that came from either. So there you go. So why don't we do this? Why don't we take a break now that we've wrapped up our review of James Bond, and we will come back with the movie news.
Stay tuned for more of Cinema Recon, where we are always shaken, never stirred. Hit the sky for.
Cinema Recon, our opinion isn't the only one that matters.
And our opinion matters, and it counts.
It does.
And it's
everybody
right.
pays attention and does what we say.
Everybody listens up.
We want to hear from you. Write to us at cinemarecon@gmail.com.
We read all of them, all billions of emails that we get.
It's long and tiring,
staggering.
But someone has to do it.
Or visit us at cinemarecon.com.
So Cinema Recon!
That's what you're listening to.
So we're waiting to get a really cool effect for that. But
no, that's perfect. I think you're the effect.
Come on. So they had them apple bottom jean boots with the fur. The whole club was looking at her. She hit the floor. Next thing you know, so they got low, 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 low. Them baggy sweatpants and the Reeboks with the straps. Turned around and gave that big booty a slam. She hit the floor. Next thing you know, so they got low, 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 low.
And welcome back to the show. You're listening to Cinema Recon. And we hope you're having a good time. If you should also mention, if you want to get a hold of us,
you want to have a better time,
call this number. You should visit our websites at cinemarecon.com, or you can email us at cinemarecon@gmail.com. Follow us on all the social network sites as
follow
well.
Me.
Yeah, follow tweets and
stalk us.
Tweet and what else do you do?
Tweet and Twitter
tweet and twat.
Facebook us and poke us and like us.
All those things. We'd love to hear from you.
Yeah. Be sure to go on Facebook and like our page, or else I'll kill you.
Like it, otherwise we won't like you.
Yeah. No, we try to post. I try to post. You know, other different content on the different sites. Use all the social media for the different things appropriately. So
Sometimes
you can get some content on the Facebook page that necessarily won't be up on the site. And sometimes if Paul and I are out doing our local drinkings at the Watering Hole, you can follow some funny posts and messages there. So
follow us drinking.
So welcome to Drinking Recon.
So yeah, we just got done with our review of Skyfall, James Bond. We enjoyed the hell out of ourselves.
Jake's still singing.
And now we'll see if we can find some even bigger explosions in the movie news.
Kapow!
Kablasto. Right off the bat, this is something you sent me just the other day while we were should have been working. You were all excited because Tom Hardy has signed on as the character Sam Fisher in an adaptation of the Splinter Cell video games.
Yes. So I'd say I'm a moderate gamer. Actually, I'd say like less than moderate maybe. How would you classify me?
No, I think you're casual.
I really only play a couple titles, and like the original Xbox had a game called Splinter Cell. And it was like a stealthy action game where your whole job was kind of like to, you know, you're a secret operative and you need to like hide in the shadows and kind of, you know, most of the time you're going unnoticed and kind of being stealthy about your moves. And, this game, you might recognize it, the character in his little, you know, secret agent getup, he has a very, unique and recognizable set of goggles, and it's like a tri-goggles, and it's like, you know, the two eyes, and then there's one above it, and it's kind of like its trademark little logo now, you know, it's like the three green dots.
You may have seen it and not even known you saw it.
Yeah.
TV trailers, things like that for the games.
And this game, I'm like a real like stickler for like perfectionist and like doing things like slyly and perfectly. So this game for me was like awesome because it had like real like cautiously like stealth movements, and if you kill somebody you have to like hide their body or do something with it so the guards don't see it, but also had really cool like kind of like not as heavy as Call of Duty but some pretty heavy like run and gun type action.
It did
action
but it rewarded elements. You for being patient.
Yes, it did. And I'm like, I love that type of stuff. I'll sit and wait all day for like the, you know, bad guy to walk by just right so I can walk up behind him and get him or whatever. But
yeah, we should also mention that the video game series, a lot of people tend to forget this, is written by Tom Clancy, who did the writing.
Who did all of the other awesome movies that he's done.
Yeah, Tom Clancy's the man.
I'm sorry, books that have been made into movies.
Yeah.
But so there was like three or four versions of this game, or I'm sorry, like titles in this series for the video game Splinter Cell. And they've all been awesome. And I've been saying forever, I've been saying, like, you know, last, I don't know, 5 or 6 years as these movies have been being made for from comic books. And then, you know, we had a couple failed video game adaptations. I don't think we can forget about Prince of Persia.
Prince of Persia.
Like we mentioned.
any of the U. How do you say his name? U-Bull? Is that how you say his name? He's the guy that did – he's the guy that makes so many bad movies. He made the, like the House of the Dead remake or the House of the Dead adaptation. He did a – you don't know who U-Bull is? You would if we looked – if you looked.
U-Bull would.
It's like U-W-E-B-O-L-E is how you spell his name. Mm. He just makes the shittiest movies. They're terrible.
Good friend of the show.
Yeah, Alone in the Dark, he did the remake of that and – or not remake. He did the film version of that. And but yeah, you should also mention too that the main character Sam Fisher in the video game is voiced by none other than
Michael Ironside.
Yeah, Optimus Prime.
So it's just a really cool game. The main character is kind of an older. What's cool about the main character in Splinter Cell? He's kind of an older, more seasoned and grizzled.
Yeah.
Operative.
That's the storyline in the very first game. You get the sense that he's like. He's been around the block, and he makes reference to several old missions and, you know, years ago. And he's
right.
Like, it's kind of like an attitude of like, you know, I'm getting too old for this.
Yeah.
You know?
And he's the old hard ass, grizzled, gray in the beard type guy, and which is what makes him such a great character. But anyways, I'm kind of rambling. But so anyways, throughout the video game series, they've been obviously catering to a younger crowd, and that character, Sam Fisher, has been getting younger and younger
younger.
And he's like 12 years old in this most recent video game. So we got some cool news. I think I found it on Collider.com, that Tom Hardy, or actually the first set of news was that they finally had a writer.
Yeah.
And the movie is moving forward with a writer. Yeah. And I emailed you. I was all fucking excited. I was like, they're finally doing it. It's getting off the ground. It's actually going.
Yeah.
And then, like, literally 2 hours later, another article on Collider comes up that says Tom Hardy is attached to star in the Splinter Cell adaptation. And, like, you were gone or, like, away from your computer. And I was like, I was like, IMing you in all caps. I was like, where are you? I want to talk about this.
I was in the break room, and then I could hear all your caps. I was like, oh, I better.
You could hear pounding on the keyboard.
Yeah, you're typing so loudly that I could hear you. So I came running back to my computer.
Yeah, I'm, like, super stoked. I mean, I think for both of us, Tom Hardy is kind of coming up as one of our favorite actors. He's badass, dude. You didn't see it, but the movie Lawless, he was fucking awesome in Lawless. Warrior, probably one of our favorite movies of this year or last year, whatever that was.
Yeah, 2 years ago.
And of course,
Bane.
Different opinions on the movie, but him as Bane was
great.
He was a fucking badass, right? Yeah. So Tom Hardy for us is like kind of one of our up and coming guys, and I don't think he's right for the role, but I'm excited for him because I think it'll still make a good movie. But
have you ever seen him in gosh, there's another movie that everyone says he's like scary as hell in. It's before
I can't Bronson. Think of the name. Yeah. I watched it was on HBO a while ago and
it's good.
I've
never seen it.
It's different. It's kind of weird and different. It's actually what's his name direct it? The guy that did Drive?
Refn? Or
Nicholas Winding Refn Road?
Yep. Nicholas Winding Refn.
Did he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So it's kind of got a lot of some of those visual elements to it. It's a very visual movie, right? Just like, you know, Drive was kind of like stylistically, each scene is kind of its own like image, you know what I mean? And it was very much like that, like kind of like a lot of the scenes were set up around just specific images and stuff. But it was crazy. I mean, he was nuts. He's absolutely fucking nuts.
I'm just wondering if I wonder if he's the right guy for Sam Fisher. We were throwing some names back and forth with some other possibilities, and I think like one of the better ones we came up with was Clive Owen.
Yeah.
Might be even a better fit in this role.
Yeah.
Even Michael Fassbender, who we were talking about just recently, because he was selected as being a lead in the upcoming Assassin's Creed film adaptation, would even be better, I think, physically than Tom Hardy, maybe. Tom Hardy's like ripped. That guy's like yoked.
He's gonna have to slim down for this role because that's what I mean. Like, so he's, I don't think he's perfect to play the character of Sam Fisher.
Yeah.
But it'll make a good movie because Tom Hardy's a badass. We've seen him do some pretty cool action and fight scenes, so we know he can handle that.
He's not gonna go and do a poor movie.
Yeah, and he's a good actor.
At this point.
But if you want to stay true to the character of Sam Fisher, I think Michael Fassbender would have been a little bit better. Clive Owen. like you said. And who was there was one more that we were kicking around. We started emailing back and forth all these names, and they were all really good picks, I think, for who could have played it.
The actress who plays Precious.
Yeah. But yeah, I'm wondering if maybe Tom Hardy, they'll just keep them all freaking buff and they'll just try to do like the, you know, the,
they'll leave the Bane mask on.
Yeah. I'm just wondering if they'll try to do like the, you know, young buff superhero or super agent guy.
That's why I think you should play the new game. The new Splinter Cell is readying a release, very soon. And I think you should play it because I have a feeling that the new movie will probably closely follow that storyline. Really? Yeah. The way it looks. Yeah.
They should really, yeah. Storylines in those games are pretty cool, but. So anyways, I was super stoked about that, and I'm really happy it's finally, like, getting to go.
Anytime we have video game news, I'm all giddy.
Yeah.
So, moving right along, I think we should mention at some point on this show that as it is November 18th, it's Sunday, it's the end of the weekend, it's the last day of the weekend.
Today.
Yeah, it's the last day of the weekend. So we have the weekend box office and a little film called Twilight.
Yeah. Drum roll, please.
Yeah. Twilight, Breaking Dawn Part 2 released.
What's that?
It's a lot of sparkly bad actors.
Sounds great. Maybe every teen girl should go give their money to the box office.
Yeah, and looks like they did because Breaking Dawn Part 2 made $141 million this weekend.
Ouch.
Yikes.
That hurts my...
America has spoken.
Yeah, seriously. And we like dumb shit.
We like stupid shit. Oh, God. I couldn't sit through. I watched the first movie, but I watched it with the Mystery Science Theater 3000 guys riffing over it.
The first one you said?
The very first one. And I couldn't have sat through it normally. I mean, it was just excruciatingly bad. And yeah, I'm a little biased. I mean, I hate that tween crap. But on a standalone movie, try not to be biased. It was it's bad. It's just bad.
They're just I can't begin. I saw the last one with Cassie. She dragged me to it, and I was just like, you know, I was trying not to be a dick or whatever, but I was like, literally, just
that's
like
hard to do.
I was literally like laughing out loud at certain parts. I was like, and I was like looking around the theater, like, come on, like people,
you're
like,
not gonna lull with me.
This is ridiculous.
It's pretty bad. Like, and, you know, we give these things a shot. Like I liked Hunger Games. And that's kind of arguably crowd. I know you didn't care for it. I didn't mind Hunger Games. I thought it was entertaining. I just think this is – never has a movie been so blatantly just – I mean, it knows who it's catering towards, you know, and it embraces that.
It does. Crowd. I mean, it's like you can't go wrong. These – I mean, it's not even tweens though. Remember that we saw tattoo.
It's also fat older ladies too.
Oh, God. It's just like – it's just – ridiculous the amount of money these people will pump into seeing these movies and books. And...
Well, it's basically softcore porn with all the dudes running around their shirts off.
I know. So I'm looking at it here. Twilight Breaking Dawn Part 2 has the 8th highest opening weekend.
Of all time. It's crazy.
Of all time.
And it didn't even break its own record. So it should be the previous one should be higher up there.
Breaking Dawn Part 1 had the 9th biggest opening. Mm-hmm. Breaking Dawn Part 2 had the 8th highest opening.
Yep.
Twilight Saga New Moon had the 7th highest opening. So there is a little bit of slowdown.
I mean, I think it's just hovering. And the same people are seeing these same movies. So that's unfortunate. You know what else is too bad is that, Lincoln didn't seem to do very well. Although we haven't seen it yet. I would have liked to have seen that.
Yeah, we were going to try to see it today, but after a night of hitting the bars yesterday, we weren't really feeling sitting through a
3-hour
Lincoln,
movie.
Lincoln documentary.
A movie like that, yeah. I don't think I was in the right mood, state of mind for. Better to be just looking straight ahead and playing Call of Duty in that state.
That was much better.
Well, okay. I just thought I'd mention. Yeah, now we've mentioned Twilight on this show. No, we probably won't be reviewing it, but.
I would love to do some riff tracks of our own, though, of those movies. I think it'd be so fucking
funny. I feel like it would
get
to the point where it would be just mean. It's almost like picking on, like, a little kid. You know, it's like those movies, like I said.
That's what we do.
We always pick on little kids. That's why we hang out near that school.
Or used to hang out by
that. Well, we got to tell them now when we're within 30 feet. There you go. Star Wars rumors moving right along.
Oh, yeah.
Now that we've seen Lucasfilm conquer near most of the modern world.
Near.
Yeah. Lucasfilm has been purchased by Disney, so now rumors are abound about what will happen with the upcoming Star Wars new trilogy. And a couple things that are just got thrown out there. Well, a lot of people have been throwing around their dream directors for who should direct the first of the new trilogy.
Yeah.
One director you can count out, Brad Bird, who has had associations with Disney before. It was thought that he would be first in line with his previous relationship. However, Brad Bird has said he's not going to be directing. You will remember him from the director from The Incredibles.
Yeah, and Mission Impossible, right?
Did he direct the latest Mission Impossible?
Yeah, I thought that's why it was so crazy, because he went from like all animated to...
That's what you're absolutely right.
He did? You're confirming?
I recall us talking about that. But yeah, he won't be directing the newest
Star Wars. I feel like at this point it's just like, I don't know why it's like the biggest... I mean, obviously I know why it's the biggest thing, but I feel like at this point it's just easier for any director to come out and be like, before you even ask, I'm not directing Star Wars.
A lot of people have been doing that. So they're expected to make an announcement soon, like in the next 2 weeks.
Well, I mean, we talked about this last time on the news. They've already got, you know, the story and the script and everything's going. Like, mm-hmm. they're, what would they say, 2015 for a release date, right?
It's so moving ahead.
It's fucking full steam.
Yep.
And we can only imagine
it's
a movie.
It's fucking full steam.
It's fucking full steam right now. We can only imagine a movie like this is going to have to spend a decent amount of time in post-production for all the CGI and effects everything. So,
yeah. Just hope it's not made entirely behind in front of a green screen like George Lucas decided to do with
it. It probably will.
God. I just hope they correct the mistakes of past.
Did you see the thing that said Carrie Fisher was like, I'm going to be in Star Wars? And then she's like, oh my God, I was just kidding, everybody.
That's my next comment is Carrie Fisher says she's going to be in the film and people start flipping out. And then one of her representatives had to come out and say she was just joking.
So funny.
Yeah. Carrie Fisher's hilarious.
She is. She's really funny.
She's kind of an interesting bird.
Yeah. She's like, just completely crashed her career in life with like drug addiction and everything. It's hilarious.
Did you see, it was on Collider, I think, recently. They had pictures, or maybe it was IO9, and they had pictures of, like, slowed down frames of the original Star Wars, where you can see Carrie Fisher's,
cocaine nail.
Yeah. She had grown out her pinky nails.
That's so funny. Oh.
It's really, really sad, actually.
It's hilarious.
So, yeah, who would you like to have direct a new Star Wars if you could be, given that decision?
I really think Brad Bird would have been an interesting choice.
He would have
been
awesome, right?
Mission Impossible was one of the best movies of this year.
It was last year, wasn't it? Did Mission Impossible 4 come out this year?
No, it's got to be this year. I got it right here. Hold on.
I can't
Bing Bong Boom, Mission Impossible, Ghost Protocol, 2011. I'm wrong.
Yes!
It had to have been at the end of last year.
That's my favorite time.
2011?
No, when you're wrong.
So I don't know. I can't really think of a bunch of directors off the top of my head.
You can
I'm not
do
that
it.
Smart, but
no. Steven Spielberg.
Now Brad Bird would have been good. He
George Lucas.
He proved he knew action and how to film and how to make a very interesting movie to watch. So
he made that jump. That'd be kind of cool.
Yeah.
Anyways, okay. Moving right along.
Just to update everybody, though, I will not be directing the new Star Wars. Just in case anybody was wondering.
Neither will I. Maybe. Or will I?
Or will I? Bum, bum, bum.
You know who is getting a new movie is Popeye. We'll have a brand... he'll have it. Is that Popeye?
I was thinking that, too. I think he does that, right?
I can't remember.
Why is he doing that, though? Now I'm thinking about that. Why does he do that?
Whoa.
Why does he make that sound?
I don't know.
He's not like an animal or a character.
Do your Popeye impression, Halle Berry. I'm Popeye. Popeye will have a new movie. It will be 3D and it will be animated. What
Boring.
Do you think about that? So many people are getting new movies. I thought this was good to mention because we have talked at length in the past of our childhood getting dug up and thrown in front of us for nostalgia's sake.
Isn't this good? Pay me money. Hey, remember when you liked this when you're a kid?
Yeah.
Pay me money now that you're an adult.
That's funny. This even came up the other night. I was flipping through channels and a newer episode of, I don't know if you caught this one, Simpsons, where Krusty the Clown is talked into doing his original Krusty the Clown shtick on stage.
No.
He was retired, and then he was talked into coming out and doing – kind of like this follows the story of Pee-wee Herman, you know? He does his Krusty the Clown show, and – And but this time the audience is full of like 40 somethings and all these guys stand up like, oh, I remember this. And one guy stands up and he claps. He's like, this is the stuff that I loved as a kid, hated as a teen and love again.
Oh, Krusty.
Yeah. So, Popeye.
So Popeye doing the thing he does for some weird reason. Mm. I don't know. It goes to show you the endless list of shit they're remaking and making and making. And,
wasn't there another one?
And they won't stop.
They won't leave it alone. Isn't there another one too? There was another remake.
Another Popeye. It's got a sequel already.
No.
Well, they're probably setting it up for a trilogy.
Well, that's after the first trilogy.
Well, they're gonna reboot it.
Sure. I can't recall what it was, but yeah, just you know, who knows? It's gonna be another one of these after another, but we'll probably see it and review it on this show.
Yeah, it'll be great. Look forward to it.
You and I both saw a trailer that was released for World War Z.
World War Zombie.
Yeah, you want to tell people what that's about?
Yeah, it's about a dumb movie.
Trailer's
about a dumb movie. So I put this, I put an article up a while ago about, or did I? Yeah. I put up the trailer. Did I have a preceding article? I'm not sure.
I don't think you talked about it before your trailer article.
So I threw up the trailer on this awesome website I know, cinemarecon.com, and you can go there and watch the trailer, or you can go to any of the internets and watch the trailer. But
hey, I write for that site.
Hey, I know the internet. So the trailer, this is the movie that stars Brad Pitt. It's like a zombie invasion apocalypse type thing.
Ooh.
And this is the movie that was kind of had internet rumblings about maybe it's in a bad spot because they had to bring on a couple people for rewrites in the script, and production was pushed back and halted, and all this stuff was going on, rewrites and production halts and everything.
Oh, yeah, yeah. What a mess.
So they threw up the trailer, and it really looks like I Am Legend meets the movie
28 Days Later.
Yeah, meets the movie Contagion. It was just like it was just kind of like
meh.
I saw the trailer, and I was like, I've seen this. Like, this is just... It literally looked like I Am Legend meets Contagion meets like 28 Days Later. Just what you're saying. Like, it was like Brad Pitt's like the UN guy, and then zombies come and he's got to kind of do some shit to save it. And all these zombies are running all over the place, like hordes and hordes and masses of zombies. And like,
yeah, that was the one thing I took away from the trailer. The only thing I remembered about it really was just the way they portrayed the hordes of zombies.
And it's just
very liquidy.
Very, well,
flowing masses of people.
I think it's supposed to be, you know, it's supposed to represent that they're just like completely mindless, and it doesn't matter. They'll, you know, like sacrifice themselves or, you know, kill one another to get to the brains. Like, because there's a shot where they're, I guess, people think they're protected because they're behind this really high wall, and the zombies all come up and like start piling upon themselves like ants do, right? Yeah. To like get on top and over the wall.
Yeah, make like a human zombie ladder.
Which is kind of cool in concept, but the way it is in the movie, it just looks like a mess of CGI.
It looks so cartoony.
Yeah.
I mean, it just does. It's detracting.
And it just makes me think again, like the zombies looked in I Am Legend. And they were just kind of like cartoony CGI.
There's like Rage Virus.
And it's just like, all right, I've seen this before.
Yeah. But it's all been done. I don't know who.
Looking forward to it, though.
Oh, yeah. It'll be great when we review the show. It. Yeah, exactly.
Shut up, Halle Berry.
There's nothing much more to say about it. You can watch the trailer on cinemarecon.com and tell us what you think. Aaron Sorkin. You know who he is.
Aaron Sorkin.
Friend of the show. He revealed an interesting story structure for the upcoming Steve Jobs biopic. You know, that's been talked about for a while, that there will be a Steve Jobs movie because, you know, America be damned if we don't capitalize on famous person's death.
Yeah, exactly.
Right away. So Aaron Sorkin has revealed that the Steve Jobs movie will actually be – it's a very unique structure. It's going to be three scenes, he called it. Three scenes. Each 30 minutes long. When I think scene, I think is it like a one shot, or is it same room? Are we moving location, or is just one location for 30 minutes?
No, I take it to mean it's like three short stories almost.
I mean, it says scenes though. He says it's gonna be three scenes. He didn't say three short stories.
It's just gonna be Steve Jobs in a boardroom for 30 minutes, telling everybody how much smarter he is.
I picture like. It's very interesting, though. It's like he's going to take three instances of this person's life to tell his life story. So what three
periods? It's just him on the shitter for 30 minutes?
This is the least interesting 30 minutes of Steve Jobs' life. Yeah.
It's like juggling he's chainsaws. Just taking a crap and he's like, I should make something called an iPad.
I should make computers. Yeah.
I should stop eating so much pizza.
Getting a lot of fiber. But like, yeah, so I pictured when I read the article and Aaron Sorkin's comments, I thought maybe I envisioned like maybe it'll take like 30 minutes of him as like in college, and then maybe like 30 minutes of him doing his thing for Apple, and then maybe the last 30 minutes of his life or towards the end. I don't know. Like, I think it's really interesting.
That's I mean, I think they're just trying to find a unique way to tell this story.
Yeah.
But I don't know. It's kind of odd.
Here's a unique.
It's kind of odd to think about.
Yeah, have Ashton Kutcher be Steve Jobs.
Yeah, actually, you know, I actually like Ashton Kutcher. I think he gets a bad rap because he does a lot of stupid shit, and he's very like.
He's like Daniel Craig.
Yeah, I think he kind of gets a bad rap for all the kind of celebrity shit he does. You know,
well, but he looks and acts. He does like a lot of douchey.
He does a lot of like goofy kind of.
He's the one that made me have to deal with trucker hats all through college.
Right,
and
right.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't mind him so much as an actor. Like in the movie The Butterfly Effect, I really enjoyed it.
I like The Butterfly Effect.
I think it's a cool concept movie.
Yeah. Okay. So, interesting. Anything else to add on Steve Jobs' biopic?
No. Nothing. Hey, I heard that like Steve Jobs is, they were building a yacht, a personal yacht. Did you read that article?
Steve Jobs was building a yacht?
Well, not
from beyond the grave.
He was.
Okay.
I guess like him and his wife or family or somebody were building their own private, you know, a yacht.
That's
a
awesome.
Custom yacht.
Themselves?
And it was
they chopped down the trees.
It's like Noah.
Yeah.
And it finally was completed. They had pictures of it. It was fucking awesome. It was built to like resemble like the simplicity of like Apple and like the Apple stores and everything. So it was really like sleek looking and streamlined.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, the article was like, and as a gift, the Jobs family gave like, I don't know, you know, whoever was working on it, some like super famous engineering company or designing company or whatever, they gave the employees all, each one of them received an iPod, whatever the smallest iPod is. Like, okay. What's the smallest
the
one? Yeah. Each one of them received an iPod Nano with like their name engraved on the back. Yeah. I was like, that's like $50.
Yeah,
like,
thanks.
Oh my
God. Each one of them received a picture of an iPad.
Each one of them received.
I drew a picture of an iPad on a chalkboard.
I saw some article. You know, you see these articles about people getting ripped off with like fake iPhones and fake iPads.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I saw one that said, I can't remember where I saw it. Somebody bought like an iPad off somebody.
Yeah.
And it turns out it was just a mirror.
Dude, that's the kind of shit you can only get away with selling to, like, grandma.
Oh, my yeah? God. Whoa. Yeah, you just got to charge it first, lady, and then it'll...
I can't figure out how to get this to work.
Give me that, grandma. On. Grandma, this is an oven.
This iPad has extremely sharp edges.
Grandma, this is a toaster.
Oh.
Grandma, this is me. You're grabbing me and saying, get this to work. That's fun. Moving right along. Oh, I wanted to mention this to you. I had mentioned this to you previously. Have you heard about
it? Have or haven't?
I have not. But I'm excited for it because I've actually read some reviews for this film at some film festivals. Have you heard about a horror anthology called ABCs of Death?
Oh, I saw that on Collider. And if you haven't noticed, I read Collider a lot.
Cause you
it's
do
very,
read Collider.
It's an easy format. It's easy on the eyes.
It's like blog format. It's the same format we use. It's nice.
Yeah.
Have you heard of it?
I saw that they posted like the first Red Band trailer or something, but I haven't watched it.
There's a trailer online.
It said not safe for work, and I was at work.
No, not safe at all for work. But you can watch the trailer, ABCs of Death.
I called everybody into a conference room and I put it up on the on the projector.
Everyone, then I took my pants off.
Everybody, watch this.
What a weird day at work.
Yeah. Jake's running around with his pants off. Jake just put a horror movie on the projector, took his pants off, and is running around sounding like Popeye.
It's another day at the office. The film is 26 short stories. So it's 26 full tales.
I heard Aaron Sorkin was writing this.
26 instances of his life. 26 short films, each one standing for a different letter of the alphabet. And
it's the dumbest thing I've ever
heard. I think it's awesome. I think it sounds really cool. And
what do you
like
mean standing for a different letter of the alphabet.
Well, like for instance, like there's one that they actually showed on Collider a while back for the letter T, and it's called Toilet. And it's
that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in my life.
Anyway, so each one is named out. It's, the title of each one starts with each letter that's
so
successing
gets
in the
killed by a toilet.
No, he doesn't kill by the toilet. I don't know what the story is about. I didn't watch that one.
He kills the toilet.
This guy, it's Steve Jobs taking a shit.
And then the joke comes full circle. Oh, the horror.
No, but each one, it's 26 small little stories, and I've heard they're all, like, really interesting. So, and the cool thing about it is it's one full film, but you get to see, like, all kinds of different genres. So there's, like, there's animated, there's
but it's all horror.
There's Japan horror. Yeah. There's, like,
Japor. That's what I call that.
Japor. That's pretty good. There's, you know, everything is, you can throw your, throw in there.
So it's 26 short stories. So what are they all, like, 3 minutes each?
Yeah, some of them are, like, 5 to 7 minutes.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, they can't be all that long. It'd be, like, a 3-hour movie.
No, yeah, okay, so. Right? No, not exceeding that.
Right.
Yeah, and they vary in length.
Crazy.
I'm stoked.
It looks, so, sounds stupid.
I think you need to say that. That's why I wanted to bring it up. Moving right on. Lots in the moves. In the moves.
Lots in the moves.
Lots in the news. Here you go. This is one that you brought to my attention as well. Saw director. His name escapes me. The director of the Saw, one of the Saw films.
He's like James Wan or James Wan.
James
Wan.
He's the
here on Dubstep Recon.
Dubstep Recon. Saw director James Wan is in talks to direct the upcoming MacGyver movie.
MacGyver.
That's just fun to say.
MacGyver. It is fun to say.
Next on MacGyver.
So I thought this was awesome because I'm a huge MacGyver fan. Like I watched that shit. Like,
you're a huge what fan?
MacGyver.
There you go.
I watched it like religiously growing up. It's such a cultural icon and like just a well known. Like not many characters or shows become what's the word I'm looking for? Like euphemisms in everyday life,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
like
yeah.
If you rig something up, you're like, yeah, I MacGyvered it.
Oh,
right?
Yeah.
Like it's just
what
like
you, what are you, MacGyver? Yeah.
What if?
Uh-oh.
Do you think when Richard Dean Anderson's hanging out, he's like, "Look, I mead it.
I just eyed it.
I just myselfed it."
His whole house is made out of string cheese and some twine.
String cheese.
Yeah.
He's like, "Oh, this house is getting very smelly."
It's immaculate.
So I grew up watching this show. I love this show, and it's actually really funny for me because some of my buddies from college in San Diego, Rick, Chris, Zach, and myself.
You've heard Chris on the show.
You've heard Chris on the previous shows. Chris, if you're listening, what's up, dog?
Chris, if you're listening, give me $20.
Chris, if you're listening, I texted Chris and I was like, I was supposed to invite, he was supposed to come see Skyfall with us yesterday, but I got out to the city and I was kind of rushed to get here. And I made it in great time. I forgot to text him.
And then instead of going to see the movie, we went and played video games. Yeah,
I forgot to text him. So I texted him today and I said, Chris, just FYI, man, we're going to go see Skyfall yesterday at 12:30. And he said, oh, that's cool. I was really busy sitting in my house doing nothing anyways.
Ha!
So anyways, Chris, this little story's about you right now. So in college, MacGyver was playing on like the USA channel or whatever. Like they were playing like
you were gonna say like he was playing at like the
playing
Slims.
Basketball.
Like he was playing down at the club.
So MacGyver was like playing on the USA channel or some shit, and it was like I think they started it from like the beginning of the series and played it all the way through.
MacGyver marathon.
So in college we had like it was like a MacGyver like watching party every day. It was on
a marathon.
Yeah. Well, no, it wasn't a marathon. Like every day at 7 they would play it. Not all consistently.
Okay, so you
so every day at 7 we would all get into Rick's dorm room and we watch MacGyver.
It's really
it was just
early
fun.
For
we would, 7 p.m.
Oh, okay.
We would just sit there and drink beers and watch MacGyver and you know, goof off. But we had a But we were very serious about it. We had a set of rules.
No smiling.
There was no smiling, right? There's a set of rules for MacGyver. And we actually invented a MacGyver drinking game, which is fucking awesome.
That's pretty cool.
My sister made me a hard copy of all the rules.
Oh, nice.
For Christmas one year. Anyways, so there was a very strict set of rules. You had to be there on time to watch MacGyver.
Or you don't get in.
Was one of them, or you got locked out.
Nice.
Right? So we're all sitting in Rick's dorm room. And MacGyver is like going on. And it was like, you only got to, it started at 7, you only got to like 7:02 or like till after the intro was done.
And then it's locked.
And then the door is locked, right? So like Chris like calls or texts us and he's like, I'm like all the way across campus, guys. And we're like, there are no altering the rules. You either get here at 7 or you do not. He's like, okay. And he's like sprinting across campus. Like,
did you get there in time?
Full on. And like right when he was there, like the opening credits were done or whatever. And we're just like, click.
Oh.
And he's like banging on the door. He's like, come on, guys. We're like, you know the rules. He's like, you're not here in time. I think he just like sat outside the door the whole time and like listened to us laugh and enjoy the show.
It's like I'm there with him.
Yeah. So, Chris, kind of feel bad for locking you out that one time, but you knew the rules, man.
You knew the rules when you got in
on this.
You owe me a pair of socks, by the way.
Yeah. So anyways, MacGyver movie, I'm very interested to see who they're going to get to reprise the role of MacGyver. Because it was such an iconic character. And it was
MacGyver to play MacGyver.
Dude, I saw a picture of him like a year or so ago. He's old and fat.
Oh, he got fat too?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
And what's even more funny is the picture was him on the side of the road because his car had broke down. So like he's got the hood open and he's like MacGyver like working on his car. like old fat MacGyver working on his car. I was like, oh, poor guy. Richard Dean Anderson.
Poor MacGyver.
MacGyver.
Yeah, I don't see any. I don't see what he looks like nowadays. Oh man, he's got. Oh Jesus Christ!
I told you.
Holy Jesus, that's not MacGyver.
Paul is now googling MacGyver Richard Dean Anderson images.
You guys should all do this because he needs to MacGyver himself.
He is not what he used to look like.
No, he's not.
So, anyways, I'm interested to see who they're going to get to actually play MacGyver, which will be really interesting. So James Wan, who is the Saw director and Insidious director, is going to helm the movie here. So it says that there's an existing script by Jason Richman. I don't know who that is or what he's worked on. So it'll be interesting. I'm fucking excited. It's going to be awesome. But
he's young. I don't think the kid was born when MacGyver was on. No, he's born 1977. Okay.
Wow. He looks a lot younger than he is. He looks like he's
18 years old.
Anyways, I'm excited.
Good.
Chris, you better get there on time.
You better get there on time and lock your ass out. Well, that's all I had, buddy, in the film newses.
Sounds good.
So yeah, that's another great show, if I do say so myself. It was full of laughs and tears and those noises. Yeah.
And all the noises we make.
So thanks again for joining us. And again, you know, we can't stress this enough. If you enjoy what you're hearing and you want to get a hold of us and participate in the show, you can email us at cinemarecon@gmail.com. Find us on the social sites.
Don't forget you can go on iTunes as well and subscribe and download all the episodes off of iTunes.
Give us at least 4 stars.
At least 1 star.
4 out of 20 stars.
No, so that's it.
That's it.
Let's wrap it up. We on our way out, bitches. Join us next time for some more Cinema Recon. Skyfall.